Well, I'm thankful this morning to be in the house of God with the Lord's people. There's no better place to be, is there? I feel inspired this morning with a message that I hope that you too are inspired and encouraged with. I'd like to read a passage in the 6th chapter of John, starting at the 26th verse, and we'll read through verse 35. John 6:26 says, Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And that's my burden message this morning. That's what I've written on the board. Lord, evermore give us this bread. This account that we read this morning starts with a miracle that occurred back years before this that stuck in their minds. And there's good reason for it. Have anybody here been fed every day by manna that's fallen down from heaven? I haven't, but I know the story, and it always captures your attention when you think about every single day consistent manna. I'd like to see a statistical analysis of the quality of the manna. It's probably the most consistent anyone has ever produced. You know, in companies, you track the quality and you look at Gantt charts and you do all kinds of analysis to try to minimize the variation. You know, variation reduction is a big thing. What the Lord gave them was probably very consistent. I mean, it was just what they needed at the time. However, the Lord had something so much better to give us. He had something to give us from heaven that was more than just manna from the celestial heavens to fill us, right? And that was the likeness of himself. You see, the manna that came down from the celestial heavens at that time, and it was designed this way, and I don't know what all the Lord intended in the symbolism of it all, because it certainly met a need. But I find a lot of truth, a lot of analogies that I can draw from this. That manna that came down had a shelf life, didn't it? It didn't last forever. You could eat it and it would satisfy you for a time. But then you always had to go back and you had to get some more. And if you tried to pile it up, you became disappointed the next day because it wasn't good any longer. And you would be still hungry and you'd be trying to feed on something that wouldn't satisfy because it was no longer intended to satisfy. It was intended for its purpose, but that was it. And I wonder this morning how many times we fill up our plates in life with manna, if you will, from this world that doesn't satisfy long term. And we fill up our plates and we think, well, maybe if I get extra, it'll fulfill the hunger. But then we find out, well, that didn't quite do it for me. That wasn't really what satisfied. Well, maybe I just need to get a little bit more. And so we get a little bit more and we find, well, that didn't satisfy. Well, maybe if I gather the manna from a different area and I move over and get it from over there, maybe that'll work. And we go, and all this time the Lord already said it isn't going to work. Right? The Lord already said it isn't going to work. This is what it's good for. This is its intended purpose. But after that, that's all it's good for. And we've been told that. And yet we as people spend our lives so often going about expending much energy trying to satisfy the longing that we have in our heart with more and different kinds of manna that doesn't come from where God dwells. It's those things that perisheth, not the things that tend to life. And I think about when the Lord went to the well that day. I love this story. I like preaching about this. About the woman that went to the well. And she had her jug of water. And she was intent on finding that she thought was going to satisfy. And she got to the well, and she got there, and the master was sitting there and met her there. And he told her, he said, you know, this water that you're drinking from, you can take this and you can drink of it, but you're going to thirst again. You're going to thirst again. And well, yeah, Lord, I mean, that's kind of why I'm here. I come back every day to get it, but it's what she knew was fulfilling. But the Lord said something to her. He said, but the water that I have, if you take of it, you won't thirst anymore. That's the water that if you're willing to drink of, you won't thirst anymore. And you remember what she said? Yeah, she said, sir, give me that water. That sounds good. I want that water. Sir, give me that water. And it seemed like that these people in this account that we just read about, the Lord was expounding a similar truth. The manna that came down from heaven, well, later on, he said in the 49th verse, is it the 49th verse? He said, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. That's what he told them later. Your fathers, this manna that you're talking about, they ate that, and they're dead. They're not here anymore. I've got some manna to give you that tends to life. That's what he told them. I've got something that will come down in the likeness of the Father that far surpasses the manna that they ate in the desert. And those people are dead now. And in this case, they said, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. That's what I want my testimony to be this morning. Lord, evermore, give us this bread. And so I want to think just a little bit about that phrase. Lord, do you think about who we're praying to often? Why did we come here this morning? Who are we worshiping? It's God, the Father. He's the Creator. We're the created. Sometimes when we pray to God, the Father, and our minds wonder, and we start to think about the things of the day. And all of a sudden, have you ever been praying before and all of a sudden you don't even know what you said? Or am I the only one that's guilty of doing that? I've done it. And I think, oh Lord, I'm praying to God, the Father. And I'm letting these other things get in the way of my prayer to you. We're talking about the Lord. We came into service today. Why did we come here? To worship the Lord. Yeah. And how often do we sit in the sanctuary? And so often we're so quickly distracted by the vibrating that's going on beside us. We grab our phone. I use the word we lightly because I try not to do that. We're here to serve the Lord. Lord, hold on a minute. I've got to check my messages. If you'll just hold the service for a second, let me look and see what's going on. Now I'll put it. Okay, Lord, what was it again you were saying? Really, y'all? It's the Lord. The scripture tells us He's the great I am. He's the only one that the scriptures can say before Abraham was, I am. He's the only one that can say that and have it be grammatically correct. He's the only one. It's God, the Father. That's who we're praying to. That's who we're looking to. That's why we're here today. It's who we're going to stand before. He's the God of our salvation, but He's also the God that's going to be our judge. I want to live accordingly. I want to have that accountability in mind that when I pray, Lord God, I recognize who You are and who I am. I am but dust, and You are God. Lord, I come here for service this morning because I want to receive from heaven. I want to receive the manna from heaven that satisfies the need that I have in my heart. I don't want to come here and then spend half the time thinking about all of the things that perishes. Because this life is just a shadow of what's to come. Eternity's ahead of us, isn't it? It's God that we're endeavoring to serve. It's the Lord. It's the Creator. He made us. He made you. He knows all about us. And I need Him. I'm desperate for Him. So when we pray this morning, if that's our testimony, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Keep in mind who we're praying to. It's the Lord. Lord, evermore. Lord, whenever it's convenient for me, I'd like to have a little bit of bread. Lord, when it suits my personality. Lord, when the timing is right. Is that what it says? What does evermore mean? Always. Evermore. Always. Lord, always I want the bread from heaven. Not sometimes. God's looking for an all the time Christian. He's not looking for part-time Christians. Amen. Anybody here a part-time Christian? Are we all full-time Christians? Do we want to be all in? Do you remember Ananias and Sapphira? I know you do. We all remember that story. Boy, that was a story. The consequences were stiff for them. Sure was too bad for Ananias and Sapphira. What about us? What about you? What are you bringing to the Lord today? You bringing everything? Or you bringing part, but you want it to be presented as if it's the whole? You know what concerns me? I'll tell you what concerns me. It's churches on all these street corners that all profess Christianity, a lot of them. All of them have a testimony with all kinds of different philosophies, all kinds of different doctrines. You can live about however you want a lot of times. During the week, you can live how you want. And then when you come to church, maybe that's one thing. But God is looking for a full-time, evermore Christian. Amen. Evermore, always. When Elijah was praying and he had the prophets of Baal on one side and God and the sacrifice to God on the other, he said it, just simply, he said, if Baal be God, serve him. I mean, if he's God, serve him. But if God is God, if he's really Lord, well then serve him. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long are you going to try to wander around and see how close to the edge you can get and still call on the name of the Lord? If he's really Lord, do you believe he's really Lord today? Amen. I do. There's no doubt in my mind. But am I living like it? If he's really Lord, and I'm really the created, and I'm really going to stand before him at the judgment, doesn't it make sense that I would recognize my responsibility to him and that I would, in a full-time manner, serve him? If he's God, if he's Lord, then what am I doing halting around these two opinions? Why are we praying about things that God's already answered? Why are we looking to the Lord about things that the Word of God's already given us to do? Lord, evermore. Evermore, always. Or are we like Felix? Remember Felix, the governor? Scripture said that Paul had preached to him about righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. And what did Felix do? Did it affect him? It did affect him. He trembled. But what did he say? When I have a more convenient season. Now we may say, well, no, I'm a Christian, Lord. I'm a Christian today. Well, what about 24/7? Christian today, but what about in the secret places that we heard last night? What about when you're by yourself? What about when you're with the folks at work versus when you're with the folks at church? How does your life lived out on an hour-by-hour basis? Lord, evermore, always, I want to be a Christian full-time. I want to be committed. Evermore what? Lord, evermore, give us. You know what the good news is with that? That means it includes me. It isn't, Lord, evermore, just, you know, give the people that you've so chosen. And I wish I could be part of the group. I wish I could be one of the ones. No. Give us. Give us. That means me. I can have the bread from heaven. But I want to tell you something this morning. We have a responsibility to put ourselves in a position to receive the bread. I feel like sometimes what we do is the devil would like us to only focus on the love of God and try to cause us to think that we can live however we want, fill our plates with all of this earthly manna, and then run here and run there without the kind of evermore thinking we ought to have with God the Father, the Lord, the Creator. And then when we need help, we drop to our knees and say, Lord, give us what we need here. And the Lord is just right there at our beck and call. He's ready to give us wherever we are, whatever we're doing, however we've been living, whatever we've been listening to, whatever we've been watching. And all of a sudden, we're about to get in a car accident. Lord, save me out of this now. You said you would, but we've been speeding away from where God is. We have a responsibility to put ourselves where God is. His intent was for us to be a temple that He could dwell in. In other words, a temple that was fit for the habitation of the Lord. That we would be saved and forgiven of our sins and washed clean and then filled with His Spirit so that His Spirit could be with us evermore, always. And so that He would be able to give us what we need. And sometimes we have to move off of where we are if we're not finding the bread that we need. I was thinking about the passage in the second chapter of Mark. Do you remember the palsied man that needed help that came to the house that was packed with people? And the Lord was inside and this man needed help. But when he got there, it was plugged at the door. So what did the man do? Well, I tried. I tried to make it, but it looks like I'm not going to be able to get in, so I'll just go home. Is that what he did? What did he do? He did something really unconventional. And this is my thought. He probably did something that the rest of the people around were saying, whoa, wait a minute, what are you doing? You can't do that. Wait, that's not what the rules are. We kind of wanted to see you. Did you hear that? We kind of wanted to see Jesus, so we're kind of out here. You can't go in through the roof, because that's what he did. They climbed up on the roof, started taking the roof apart. That's right. Because they wanted to see Jesus. Right. How many roofs have you taken apart to see Jesus? Amen. How many walls have you taken down? Or do you just kind of wonder where the Lord is, and then if there's, you know, it looks like it's going to be kind of hard to get in where he is. Well, I tried. Well, I guess the Lord just didn't want to meet me today. No, you didn't want to meet the Lord bad enough. The Lord wants to give us of what satisfies, but we have to be willing to give our all. We have to be willing to tear the roof off sometimes. We have to be willing to do something different than what we are doing. You know what we do today in America? We are so accustomed to so many comforts and instant gratification and always having a level of comfort that we're, you know, our boat's not rocked. And so what we like to live in our little shell, and we just like the Lord to come do whatever we need to do without us having to move from where we are if we like it where we are. Right? I'm speaking in general terms. We don't all do that. But we can't do that if we want to see the Lord. The Lord's faithful to come after us. He does do that. The Lord will come and He'll seek to save those that were lost. And the Scripture tells us that when He loses one, He'll go out. The Lord, yes, He does that. But if we consistently stay on the run consciously, and the Lord's saying, hey, come back. And He's dealing with our hearts. But we continue to go our own way and continue to fill our plate. And the Lord says, hey, I got water. You take of this water, you'll never thirst again. Yeah, I know, Lord, but I got this right here. As soon as I get done with this, I'll take a sip of it to see what it tastes like. But I've filled up with this over here. I got places to go, things to see, things to listen to, things to watch. I got things to attend to, but look, I'll take a quick sip and then I'm on my way. And then somehow we expect the Lord to just come, whatever we are doing, when we want Him, He's right there to give us just exactly what we need, no matter what shape we're in. It doesn't work that way. Y'all, it doesn't work that way. The Scripture says, if any man will come after me, if any man will come after me, he must take up his cross, deny himself daily, and what? Lead the Lord? Sometimes. Oh, it's follow. It's not lead. It's follow. Sometimes we run around and we just expect the Lord to be following us. And then when we need something, Lord, where are you? You said you'd be there. He's like, well, I'm over here. If you would have followed me, I'd have been right where I said I would have been. But instead, we get so taken with our own lives and with how we want to live and with how we think. Saints, sometimes we're going to have to take some walls down in our lives. Sometimes we're going to have to take the roof apart. Sometimes we're going to have to make some life changes. Zacchaeus found out he was not going to be able to see Jesus by doing the same old thing that everybody else was. He was going to have to climb a tree and suffer some reproach for it. And maybe people were going to look at him a little odd. And maybe his life was going to be a little bit different from that point on. Thank the Lord it was. Because the day that he stepped outside of his box and did what he had to do to make contact with Jesus, the Lord said, come down, Zacchaeus. I'm going to go to your house today. I have bread to give you. I want to fill you with what you've been looking for all this time. And the Lord didn't have to start saying, now, Zacchaeus, you need to give, you know, half of your goods. You need to pay back fourfold. He didn't have to tell Zacchaeus that. Why? Because Zacchaeus received the essence of the manna from heaven, and all of that started to take care of itself. Amen. The woman with the issue of blood went and had to go through the press. She tried everything. Well, she could have turned away from the Lord and said, doesn't look like I'm going to be able to see him today. But she pushed through because the power was there for her, but she had a responsibility. So I want to encourage you this morning. Be willing to make some changes in your life. If you're not finding the fulfillment that you hear about, that you read about, you need to reassess the activities of your life. Look, if I want to lose weight, it does not work for me to continue eating double Whopper with cheese and milkshake and fries and say, but my heart's right. My heart knows that I want to lose weight. Well, I'll tell you what, you keep eating that way and it's going to affect your heart. And there's some spiritual truths in that if you think about that very long. If someone was saying, yeah, but I want to lose weight, but you're not going to lose weight until you change what you're doing. You can't keep doing the same thing and expect different results. It doesn't work that way. And yet sometimes we'll go around and not change anything in our lives and we say, well, the Lord knows my heart. You're right, He does. And the Scripture says that out of the issues of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You'll know people by their works, by your fruit, you'll know them. Jesus said that twice in the same chapter. You want to see where you're at? Look at how you're living your life. You want something different inside? Sometimes you have to do something different in your actions. Are we willing to do that this morning? Every one of us has a story. Every one of us has a story of how we're living and the need of our life. And the question is, are we willing to allow the bread from heaven be given to me? Because God wants it to be. But I have to be willing to push through my press. So be encouraged to do that. Lord, evermore, give us this bread. Lord, evermore, give us the bread that tastes good to me. Lord, evermore, the bread that I like the best is wheat bread. Now, I know someone else likes white bread, and Lord, you'd be good with that, and cheese bread, and onion bread, and all kinds of different bread. That's not what it said. That's not what the Lord brought. Lord, evermore, give us what? This bread. Not my version. Lord, your version. Lord, I need the version of bread that comes from heaven. And yet we talked about the churches that are everywhere, congregations that are everywhere, all different kinds of doctrines. Why is that? Because people want to try to make the bread palatable to what they like. And then they want to call it bread from heaven. They make the bread and then put a package on it that says bread from heaven. You get sued for stuff like that in this world. People don't like you putting their name on something that you created yourself. And yet sometimes I fear that we do similar things. We want to have our own version of Christianity. We want to customize it so that it fits me. But we want to call it bread from heaven. But that's not what the Lord brought us. It wasn't any old bread. The Lord brought us bread from heaven. Lord, evermore, give us this bread. I remember one time we were, I don't remember which one of my children were with me, but we were driving, there was somebody on the side of the road wanting food. You know, they hold the sign that says all manner of things, but they were hungry. So we went by and we got a hamburger for them. And we drove by and gave them the hamburger, and we went on our way and did our shopping, and we came back. And do you know what we saw when we came back by the corner? The man was sitting on the corner, and he had taken the hamburger that I had bought and given him, and he had the whole hamburger open and all the pieces spread out on the ground. And he was discarding the pieces that he didn't like so that he could get a hamburger that suited him. All this stuff spread out. And I wonder sometimes if we don't do that with the Lord. The Lord gives us the bread. He's got the whole package. He's got all the nutrients, all the types of calories that we need, everything that will fulfill us. And then we open it up and we don't really like that. And, well, I don't want to focus on that. That bothers my stomach. That doesn't make me feel well. And we finally end up with what's called bread. And we say, this man came by and gave me this. And it's not doing for me what it ought to do. Well, no, probably isn't. Most of the hamburgers on the road. And we, with the Lord, discard some of the things that we think will be most hurtful to us. And they're the things that's the best for us. The Scripture says, except a seed be buried and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And a lot of times what we do is we try to avoid those things in our Christian life, if at all possible, that disrupt how we want to live and what my lifestyle is. Well, Lord, I like listening to this, and I like going here, and I like spending my time this way, and I like this hobby, watching this, and I like presenting myself to the world like this. And then we wonder why we're not filled inside, and we feel like we can't let go of some things. And if we would just let go and taste of the water of life, the lady that took of the water of life and met the master went back to town and forgot all about her empty jug at the well that she thought she was so in need of. If you get a hold of the Lord, the thing that you thought was so important for you to hold on to, sometimes you'll forget all about it because you got something so much better. This bread, don't shortchange yourself. Partake of the whole entire Word of God. It doesn't have the same effect otherwise. And it takes this to live. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You remember when he was hungry physically in the wilderness and the enemy came and tried to tempt him and say, hey, if you turn this rock right here to bread, you know, you could eat this and you know, you would be filled. Well, it seemed like maybe a normal thing to do because if Jesus didn't eat, it seemed like he was going to die. But he had an interesting comment to give the enemy. He said, yeah, but the scripture also says that man shall not live by bread alone. And he was talking about earthly bread. Young people, as you chart your course in life, I want to tell you something. There's an easy way and there's a hard way. The hard way is to tell yourself that you can have it both ways. You can be a Christian and you can pretty much, you know, figure out how to do most of the things that you want to do that really are not exactly in alignment with this holiness and righteousness and the whole Word of God. And you can spend your whole lives trying to convince yourself that you're saved, you're a Christian, everything's okay, and I can still kind of live how I want. And you will not ever be satisfied. And you will set an example for those that are coming after you that will follow what you're doing. And they'll hear you say, well, serve the Lord. It's a wonderful way to go. And then they pattern serving the Lord and partaking of the bread like you are. And then they say, it's not here, Mom, Dad. I'm not being satisfied by this. It's because they're not being offered the bread of life. You've taken away from it. You'll have an effect on those that come after you, to say nothing of your own life. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. And it's going to take more than these earthly things to give me life. I want to partake of it all. Further down in this passage of Scripture, the Lord began to tell them what it was to partake of the bread of life. He said, you're going to have to eat of my flesh. You're going to have to drink. You're going to have to drink of my blood. You're going to have to take on who I am. And what is it that most of them said? First, they said, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. The Lord began to describe it to them, and it said, from that time forth, many of them turned away and walked with him no longer. Yeah. Why? What did they say was the reason? They said it was because it was a hard saying. I'll tell you what's a harder thing to do. It's to walk away. I always wondered, where did they go? When I was a young person, I used to think about, Lord, can I be saved my entire life? It just seemed like such a long time. And then you think, well, what if I wasn't saved? I could do whatever I wanted. And then I said, well, what would I go do? And it's open. I could do anything I want. What would I go do? And then what would I do after I did what I was going to do? Then what? And it was like, this isn't a very good picture. I don't like how this is going. And so I had faith and took one day at a time. Purpose to live for the Lord. And I have zero regrets. Peter answered the question. Lord looked at them and said, are you guys going to go away too? Peter might have thought it was a hard saying too. Scripture didn't say that. Peter said, well, that sounds like an easy saying to me. We're in. That's not what he said. He just said, where are we going to go? If we turn away, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. The Lord has abundant life for all of us. And this is a prayer that we can have that can have direct applicability to every one of us in our lives and have it answered. Lord, I recognize you as God the Father, the Creator. Lord, I want what you have always, every day, evermore. Lord, I want it to apply to me. And Lord, I want it to be this bread, not any old bread. I want it to be this bread. And he promised us that we could have it. Take some faith. For without faith, we're not going to make it. But if we have faith, we can do that. It's going to take some willingness and obedience. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the fruit of the Lamb. Yeah, it'll take some self-denial. You give some things up, but look what you gain. Yes, you clear your plate of the manna from this world. You say, wow, I really enjoyed that. I wish I could have that. I hate taking that off the plate. And the Lord's just saying, trust me. I'm not going to leave your plate empty. I'm going to replace it with something that's better. Believe it, you all. Young people, get a hold of it. It's real. It'll take you through life. It'll bless you in your marriage. It'll bless you in your job. It'll bless you in your home. It'll bless you in your heart. And you can lay down on your pillow at night with a clear conscience before God. And you can say and have the testimony, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Today, I want to live my life with this testimony. Lord, evermore, give me this bread. And then I want to be willing and obedient, regardless of the cost, to pay it so that I can partake of the bread that God Himself offers me, the created. And if I do, He promised me eternal life. Let's be encouraged with these promises this morning. Amen.